1 Thessalonians 5, Christian character, some things you have to do, especially more so closer toward the end of the end of the church age. The Bible said many give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If you ever want to get a chill, read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at the condition of the church in the latter days. That's not unsaved people. That stuff's been going on with unsaved people since the days of Noah. But that's going on in the church. Notice what he says, rejoice evermore, verse 16, pray without ceasing. We talked about that already. Here's a tough one for you, and everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? Be thankful. For what? In everything. Everything. All right, and then notice what he said, quench not the spirit, tying the two of thankfulness and quenching the spirit together. Then he says, despise not prophesying. That has to do with heaven and hell, second coming of Christ, judgment seat of Christ, eternal rewards, judgment of things going on for the unsaved people. And then he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All right, Brother Matthew, you pray and ask the Lord to help us, would you please? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, I'm going to jump down and we'll go back over this on Sunday morning, but one thing I want to cover is this abstain from all appearance of evil. Cover that tonight. You say, why? Because modern Christianity says, I'm not my brother's keeper. You heard tonight, dear, in questions and answers, come over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, 1 Corinthians 8. In Romans chapter number 14, the Bible clearly teaches you that you're not to put a stumbling block in your brother's way. Romans 14:13 says, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, one of the things, 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, that's missing in modern Christianity is that you quit having a concern for causing other people to stumble. And the Bible commands you, he says to you, that you're supposed to be concerned about what you're doing might make somebody else that's a weaker brother or a weaker sister, it might cause them to stumble. The modern Christian says, well, it's none of their business. But the Bible teaches that you're a light that they look to, not just the lost world, but the saved world. He's talking about the brothers. I told you already, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and the passages that have to do with that, then he taught you over there also in 1 Thessalonians and in the latter part of Ephesians and Philippians, your relationship. Relationship with God comes first. That's you and Him. Is your fellowship the way it ought to be? Is your conscience devoid of any kind of a conflict between me and God, and then between me and my fellow man, my brothers in Christ? So one of the things that we've stopped doing is making decisions in light of what it might do to the rest of the people that are watching me. Say, well, it's none of their business what I do. Well, according to the Bible, it is their business what they do if it makes them stumble. Now, you have to make sure that if your conscience is clear to get the right balance between you and God and between you and your fellow man, then you can go ahead and do it. And if it causes them to stumble, then there's something wrong with them. So I'm not asking you to get all whacked out and go get a sheet and sit up on top of a mountain somewhere because you're always so worried about what somebody else is going to see and do. But you can't change the passage in the Bible to make it fear all kinds of evil or to try to make a doctrinal approach, as one commentator does. He said, well, what Paul's really talking about there is the danger of false doctrine. No, he's not. Look at how it's written in your Bible. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Is that not clear enough for you? Well, he says all kinds of wickedness. He says, well, all kinds of evil. No, he says all evil, appearance of evil. Amen. Appearance of evil. Yes. How it looks to other people. The appearance, not the doing of it, yes. The appearance. Amen. The old preacher used to say, don't bend over and tie your shoes in somebody else's watermelon patch. You say, why? It appears you're there to do more than tie your shoes. Amen. Do you understand? Yes. The appearance of evil. It should matter what you do when other little kids are watching you. Now, the commentators come through there and they try to change. This is one of the most changed verses in all the new versions to try to make it not say what it says. It's clear like it is. Yes. One of the things that we mentioned at the beginning of question and answer today is that nobody ever addresses is the sin that happened to begin with in the garden was not the stuff that people see. It wasn't fornication. It wasn't adultery. It wasn't drinking and smoking and cussing and all that. It was questioning what God said. Genesis 3:1. It was changing what God said. Genesis 3:2, 3:3, 3:4, 3:5, 3:6. It was adding to and taking away from what God said. Why doesn't anybody ever discuss that? Why doesn't anybody ever hold the scholars accountable for changing what God says? In Genesis chapter number 3, they lose their life because of it, and they spiritually die right there. In 1 Kings chapter 13, that little prophet messes with God's word. He winds up getting killed, and a lion takes him off the back end of a donkey. In Acts chapter number 5, the author of the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, Ananias and Sapphira come in there, and they lie to the Holy Spirit, and God kills them on the spot. How come nobody talks about changing the words? He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. If you don't like how it is, that's still not a reason to change it. Amen. It says, don't do it. Amen. In other words, if it's something that doesn't appear to be right, don't do it. You err on the side of making sure that, well, if it don't look right to other people, then probably I probably, they know probably to it. The sister brought up, if your conscience, if whatsoever is not of faith is sin, if your conscience bothers you about it, if you can't be faithful that I'm right with God and right with fellow man, then you shouldn't do it. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. That's gone today. People worship their liberty too much. That Bible says your liberty was given to you, but not as an occasion of the flesh. That means I don't have to sin. What sin is that you would rather commit than break out of fellowship, than be in fellowship with God? How come nobody tells you that when it comes to changing God, that's what changing God's word? How come nobody ever tells you that's the first sin that happens? Yea, hath God said? I don't really believe that's what God said. The appearance of evil. Think about it. Well, somebody else thinks it wouldn't look right, but for me, I just don't really see anything wrong with it. Okay, will it cause a brother to stumble? Then the Lord said, don't do it. You call yourself a Christian, don't you? Well, how about we hold ourselves to that standard? Well, I mean, good night, preacher. I mean, you know, there's certain liberties. Why you got to take them now? Why wouldn't you err on the side of making sure that people don't get the wrong impression? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look in verse number 9. We're out of the Bible, aren't we? Aren't we? We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Is that what he says? All right, look in verse number 9, 8, 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see, they're looking at you, thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in an idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their conscience, here's a tough one. I have it highlighted in my Bible. You sin against Christ. The Lord said, when you cause somebody else to stumble, I take it personal. Now, I'm going to show you what a hypocrite you are. If somebody led your kid down the wrong way and did something, made your kid do something wrong, and that kid wound up in jail or wound up smoking a blunt or wound up shooting drugs or dope or whatever or smoking crack or drinking a beer or going places they shouldn't, you'd be foaming at the mouth. But when it comes to how you live in front of other Christians, you don't give no thought about it. That's their problem. Why do they care? What if your gossiping tongue causes them to stumble? What if your slander causes them to stumble? What if you're being persuasive in your ideas or your way of thinking? What about being lazy? That's in the Bible. What about lack of faithfulness? That's in the Bible. What if it causes another brother to stumble? It's not just wicked, ungodly things that you wouldn't dare think about. It's the questionable things. Paul calls them doubtful disputations. Come a little bit further there in the passage. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Abstain. That means to deliberately withdraw yourself, to stay away from, to intentionally put distance between you and the other individual. It is to deliberately refrain from wrong actions. You know, what we used to do years ago, it's a lot of years ago, but it was a big portion of my life, or a lot of my life, from the time I was 18, 19 years of age until a little bit later on after that. What I originally did was involved in law enforcement. And as a result, you know what we often had? We had individuals that were known associates. You know what we did? We watched them because they hung out with the wrong crowd. That didn't mean we actually had them on the crowd. You say we were profiling them. Yeah, I profiled them. I'll call it whatever. The statute of limitations is out. I figured if you were hanging around with them, it was just waiting for an opportunity to do it, and I'd be watching you as close as anybody else. And you would want me to because they were bad people. Amen. But you don't want no Christian looking at you like that. Well, why not? Known associates. Why would they be looking at you like that? I hope to God they don't pull some of your Facebook posts. The Lord said, you've offended them by leading them down the primrose path, make them believe something about somebody that's not true. And the Lord said, the passage I gave you, I'm offended by that. You make somebody watch something or do something, the Lord said, I'm offended by that. You made them listen to something, you said, the Lord said, I'm offended by that. You made them stumble, I'm offended. You just read it in 1 Corinthians. Look at this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Pick it up, if you will, please, down there in verse number 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews or Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul's attitude toward that whole thing is that I have to worry about the example I set for other people. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, preacher, that just seems a little bit ludicrous. Well, let me ask you a question. Why would that be ludicrous to you? Why would you think that the Lord would say to you, why shouldn't you care about how you live your life in front of other people? You know what the world has for that? They call it mentoring. You know what they say? We need to get a mentor. How about mom and dad be the mentor? You say you need to get somebody your own age to be your mentor. Let me just caution you about that. You never learn anything about life being around people your own age. You don't learn anything from your peers. You want to learn something? Get around some old people. You might learn some things not to do, but you'll learn a lot of things to do. You say, why? If you want to be successful, you don't look at people your same level, your same age, and learn that kind of stuff. You know what they'll do? They'll get you in trouble. But Christians nowadays, their attitude is I live my life, it's none of your business what I do. That's obvious by the stuff you post and by the turmoil that you create. You're not a biblical Christian. It says abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance. Intentionally withdraw yourself from anything that appears to be evil. You say, well, preacher, my conscience doesn't convict me. If it's a good conscience, it will. If not, it could be defiled or it could be seared. And we already covered that. There's a seared conscience and nothing bothers you. That's the Bundys of the world. That's the Dahmers of the world. That's the people that don't think anything of. That's a John Wayne Gacy down there in Texas and kill people and bury him under the thing. They'd have never found that guy if it hadn't been for him having a dirt floor and a crawl space about that big and the stench of rotten bodies being in there and his mama sitting in the living room and somebody walking in there and saying, man, something don't smell right in here. He didn't have enough lime. And they go down there and find old boys down there that he would torture and do unspeakable and ungodly things to. Read it on your own. I'm not going to repeat it. And that woman sitting down there in the same house and knows what's going on and doesn't do nothing about it. You say, well, why did he got acted like he was a clown? That was his cover up to pick up boys and to torture them and things like that. Seared conscience. Never bothered him at all. To the day that he went, his mama's over there hugging him before he's getting ready to go get put to death and execute him. Well, he's still my son. Well, you're still my son, but I ain't going to have nothing to do with you if you're killing boys, son or no son. You're wrong. Well, you know, only I know how to love him. There's something wrong with you, lady. Something wrong with you. You have a problem. You think because you brought him into the world, you owe him something. No, he messed that up when he killed. But the defiled conscience, that's where you're at in most churches today. You watch so much of this slop nowadays that your conscience is defiled. It doesn't bother you anymore. Doesn't trip your trigger anymore. But you don't even pause to think of the impact you have on other people. I'm preaching you to the Bible. It says abstain from all appearance of evil. Not the doing of evil. From the apparent. Does it look evil? If you wouldn't ask Jesus to come to your party, then you probably shouldn't have that kind of party. You're getting ready to have dinner time there and you're going to pop a top or whatever it might be. You say, well, my conscience doesn't bother me. Okay, Jesus, come on down here and join me. He says, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all to the glory of God. If you can ask God to bless it, help yourself. Make sure you do that next time you put a post on your Facebook page. Ask God to bless what you're fixing to say about somebody. And come sit in my office when I deal with the fallout from your mean-spiritedness and from you saying things about people that's none of your business in the first place. And listen, as mama's hearts are broken and wives' hearts are broken and girlfriends and boyfriends' hearts are broken and sons and daughters and fathers' hearts are broken over somebody that's just taken the opportunity to write a bunch of stuff and don't care who it hurts. You have no idea what you're talking about. No, in this case, I know what I'm talking about and I know what I'm saying. And I know who I'm saying it to. You say, well, preacher, you should wait and do this on a Sunday morning when the real offenders are here. It's interesting it's here on a Wednesday night. I don't know who's watching. I don't know who isn't watching. But this is a message that ought to be played all across the entire world. You say, for who? For Christians. because he said abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, preacher, you know, when you look at that word, if you go to the original Greek, hey, don't blow my head up with the original Greek stuff, okay? You don't know enough about the Greek in the first place, but if you can understand English, you don't need the Greek to try to understand English. English corrects Greek in the first place. All you're trying to do is duck because you're trying to hide some sin in your own life. Well, he doesn't really mean abstain from all appearance of evil. He just means stay away from all kinds of evil. No, he said abstain from all appearance of evil. That's English to me. I understand. I'm going to err on the side of abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. Preacher, what you so jacked up about? I have to deal with the fallout from what some of you folks do. You think nothing of it. And it's to Christians. It's to Christians saying things, posting things, repeating things that have no business being spoken. But, you know, everybody else does it, and what's the big deal? And we're having a party, and I realize we're kind of stretching it a little bit. We sure hope the preacher and his wife don't show up to the pool party, because, I mean, we might be kind of stretching it just a tad there, you know, and we might be saying some things we shouldn't be saying and listening to some stuff we shouldn't be listening to. And, I mean, you know, but after all, we're human. I remember years ago, a lot of years ago now, many, many, many years ago, something didn't feel right about it. I was asked to come to a place. I was supposedly working in a Sunday school class, and we got to this place, and they were having I thought it was a fellowship. We got there and found out it was a full-blown pool party. And the next thing I know, you got these boys and girls going in the back room back over here and changing clothes and jumping in the pool and that kind of a deal. And I thought, this don't feel right to me. This is a church activity, and you got kids over here that are running around naked or near about. And I thought, this don't, you know what I was told? Oh, you need to relax, man. You're not one of them people that believes in, you don't believe in mixed bathing. I said, this ain't bathing, this is swimming. And them kids ain't taking a shower. they messing around when you ain't looking. And you got a bunch of boys over here full of testosterone that are about to have a cotton picking fit in the name of Jesus. That's not too plain for you, is it?
No,
you say, why? Just because it's a boy in church don't mean he ain't still a boy.
Amen. Amen.
And then the next thing you know, they're like, oh, well, you're one of those. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I got to go. I went and said to the guy in charge, I said, I just want to kind of register a complaint. If that's what you're going to be doing, I don't really want to be a part of that. If it's in the name of a fellowship and that's what you have to do to get people to come. And he said, well, you need to understand, as he folded his sweet little hands, you need to understand in the temperature and the environment that we live in today, the only way to keep kids is to not be so stringent and legalistic. I said, okay, well, call me when they get knocked up out of wedlock, okay? And make sure you, in the meantime, you're covering up for people that are doing things that you know is wrong, okay? He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. So, preacher, you're going to run off the church. Well, that's okay. We need room anyway. You need to take responsibility for your Christianity. You need to realize that you don't have a free-for-all now. There's some things you just shouldn't do. You say, why? It'll make somebody else stumble.
Yes.
You girls, I'll tell you right now, I learned from the old preacher, and he's 100% right. You won't ever do it by yourself. You always have to have either one or two with you. And women are the same way. You boys will do things by yourself, unspeakable things in darkness or midnight hour, but generally you'll look for somebody to run with. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that human nature left you. I don't know why you're not tearing the roof off the place. You look, I'm not mad at you. I'm just being honest with you. You have this Laodicean, lackadaisical, sloppy. You have an opportunity. A guy comes on the TV a couple of days ago. He's got a great opportunity to speak as a spokesman for God. And he gives them all this prosperity junk. And I thought, yeah, that'd be the thing to do. Make sure you don't offend or upset anybody. Well, if it hair-lips the devil and you too, I'm going to do my best not to set a bad example by doing things you shouldn't do. We work hard enough around here, these folks do with these kids and stuff like that, than to have you undermine the thing by having kids come over to your house and letting them do things their mom and dad won't let them do, and then tell them, don't tell mom and daddy, and for God's sake, don't tell the preacher. You say, well, how did you know about that? Well, you might be surprised. Well, we do that, but don't do it in front of Brother Sam. Really? You say, how come you don't let the kids hang out in the trailer between services? Because they're kids. Because we're abstaining from the appearance of evil. Well, they can be trusted. You trust them in your living room then. I'll put a cotton picking camera in there. You say, why? Well, they don't have anywhere to hang out. Tough apples. Go let them sit in your car. Well, they need a place to kind of, you know, hang. You know, hang. I got a rope out back. Hang. Hang you by your toes. And then the first thing that'll happen is one of your girls comes in and she's messed up. You're going to want to know, preacher, how come you let them boys back there in the back? Listen, let me tell you girls something. Boys don't care nothing about location. Amen. Nothing. They don't care if it's a church. They don't care. You know how many people we've caught back here that have been messing around back here in the church parking lot? Back in the day when these fellows rode around here all the time, they'd pull back here all the time and catch in a church parking lot back here doing things they have no business doing. You say, why? Well, you know, I mean, what the difference does it make? It ain't holy ground or nothing. Yeah, but man, are you got to be kidding me. I mean, even in the day, I wouldn't think about a church parking lot. Man, I'd be thinking a bolt of lightning would come down on me. But nowadays, you don't give no thought to it. You're getting a little worldly, aren't you? You're getting a little squeamish, aren't you? You feel a little nauseated right now? You feel a little you feel that feeling you ain't felt in a while? You say, why? Oh, it's just the appearance of it. It just looks like the world. It's not the world. It just looks like the world. Look, if you will, please, in 2 Corinthians. I am going to get to this in just a second. Chapter number 6, verse number 3. He says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. That means that you have a responsibility here. Come to Rome. I already gave you Romans 14. Come back to 1 Corinthians. No, just go ahead and go back to, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 10. I think I just covered that. One of the things you have to be concerned about here, and one of the things that I'm very fortunate that the guys that are involved in here, they understand, and ma'am, if you're married to them, they're an extension of the church. What you do outside the church is directly connected to the church. It's not just what you do when you're here. They're watching you when you ain't here. They're watching how you conduct business, how you go, where you go, what you do, what you wear and all. It ain't none of their business. Then you shouldn't be in that position. I had a lady call me today, and we talked for a little while over there, and I missed an opportunity to see her when I was in Texas in there, and she said, why don't you send one of them preachers out here to Houston? We ain't got no Bible-believing church out here. I said, I don't know. I got a half a dozen guys that could start a church if they wanted to. But it requires a commitment. Yeah. That means you can't just be it when you're at church. That means your wife can't just be it when she's at church. You say, what about the kids? That's a whole nother story. Kids take time to learn. You're mighty quiet, but don't tell me you don't expect that. Don't tell me you don't expect that. Don't tell me you don't expect that, except for the fact that my wife's sick right now, that if she's going to be my wife, you don't expect her to be here. Don't tell me that. She's the pastor's wife. She's supposed to be here. It's right for you to expect that. That's not wrong of you. It'd make you stumble if she wasn't. Where's the preacher's wife? Oh, she's out partying, man. I don't know. She's shopping. She's doing, I have no idea what she's doing. You know what you do? You'd be mad as a hornet. And some of you Christians, you don't think nothing of it. You don't think nothing of it at all. You say, what's the big deal? I'll get to it when I got time. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, it's not evil. Okay, then have at it. So call somebody else to stumble? If it does, it's evil. It says it offends God. Look in verse 31. I said this already. I did give you this one. He says, whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. That's the one I'm looking for. What's the appearance? Appearance. I looked it up. Outward form, visible appearance, likeness, a resemblance of something that doesn't right. Doesn't matter what you think, listen to me, or know, but what the appearance of it is. I get the privilege sometimes of talking to people, and they come in, they have a problem here or there. And if you've been doing it, I'm not going to out you. Just bear with me for a second. Don't act like we've been talking. Just act like nobody knows what we're talking about here. But one of the things that takes place, and you come back to sit down and talk, is it's the perception of what the person thinks, not the actual facts. The facts get muddled up. It's how you perceive things. That's what he's talking about, the appearance. Are you willing to go as far as to make sure that the appearance is not right? The preacher doesn't talk to women by himself unless there's somebody up here at the church. Well, why not? The appearance. Amen. the appearance. He doesn't counsel with teenagers and stuff like that. Why? It's appearance. We don't meet behind closed doors and meet with individuals. Why? It's the appearance. It's not right. It just gives the appearance. It just looks like maybe something might could happen. Somebody's in the back room and they're in there and the door's closed. Well, they didn't do anything wrong. Well, but I'm not saying. We had a jackleg around here at one time. He'd wait for one or two of the women, the Sunday school teachers or whatever, to be back there in the back Sunday school room. We have little squares of glass cut in there for a reason. And he'd wait for them to get back there and then just kind of ease back in that area just to sort of catch them off guard. Made them real uncomfortable because why he don't belong back there. Children's Sunday school class. What are you doing back here unless you're a pedophile or unless you're a predator? Why are you back here? Hey, brother, what you doing? Oh, just coming back here to check on you. The pastor? No. Associate pastor? No. You working with the young people? No. Well, what are you doing back here with the women by yourself? It don't look right. Well, I ain't done nothing. Yeah, but let me just give you enough time. You say, what are you going to do? I'm going to question your motive for being back there in the first place because I have a responsibility to look out for them and I'm responsible to them as well as their husbands as well as to the testimony of this church. Amen. Amen. He ain't got no business being there. Well, why is he there? It don't make no difference. He ought not be there. Amen. Good preaching. Amen. Preacher don't sound like preaching. It sounds like meddling. Good, some of you need to have some metal in you. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 11. Dear beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of salvation. You know what he said? Pay attention to how they're looking at you. Pay attention to people watching you. That's unsaved people. What does appearance mean? It doesn't matter what you think or what you know. It's how it appears. What it appears to be true, not in the eyes of others, not what you know to be true. If there's a chance someone might mistake your actions as evil or it resembles evil or wrong, then simply stay away from it. Then stay away from it. That's not... Well, I don't answer to my brother or sister. Okay, but the Lord says that you're supposed to be responsible for that. Amen. Well, what I do in my house is my business. I agree. But I hope to the Lord that made me, you're not doing the things that you do in your house out in public. You got better sense than that, don't you? Do y'all think I wear a suit and tie at home all the time? You think I sleep in it, don't you, Brother Mitch? You're kind of like, well, yeah, you probably do, don't you? You probably take a shower in it. Yeah, well... No, I actually have PJs. When I did hunt and I had a little time to do some sports and things like that, I don't always wear a shirt and tie. I try to wear what's appropriate to wear when I'm out there, but I have to always be aware there might be somebody watching. That doesn't mean I have to always be formalistic, but I bet you won't catch me in a pair of jogging shorts. Not just because it would be a horrible, hideous sight, but because it kind of don't look right. How about spandex bike shorts? Well, I mean, come on, man. I mean, they may be long enough. How about a wife beater shirt? And spandex. See, y'all are laughing at me. You hurt my feelings. Some of you are kind of like, just the thought of that, Pastor, is a little nauseating, you know. I understand. But you know what? You're giving somebody an inch, they think they're a ruler. What you do in moderation, other people do in excess. You say, preacher, why are you so upset? Because I have to deal with the collateral damage. And I have to do it on too regular of a basis. And it's not just here. It's all over. From uncaring, inconsiderate Christians. I don't care what anybody thinks. That's Laodicea. I got a right. Okay. Well, preacher, you don't believe in, you know, you have works for salvation, works to get it, works to keep it, works to prove it. No, I don't. But I do believe you ought to have enough character to act like you're saved. You say, why? It hurts other people.
Yes.
I remember a preacher telling me a story years and years ago. I never forgot the story. I promised myself I never would. It comes to mind every so often. A guy got saved when he was 81 or 82 years of age. He was an old man when he got saved. He was at the old preacher's meeting, and he got saved. The preacher drew that picture, the worst thing that can happen to a man. You remember, he draws him off as a baby, and then he grows him up, and he just makes a few little changes. It's amazing. You watch what he does, and the next thing you know, that's an old man up there after one picture, you know. And the guy looks up there, and he's looking at the thing, and he winds up getting saved. Well, the old preacher asked him, he said, well, man, what in the world took you so long? He said, well, when I was about 11 years old, he said, a preacher told me a dirty joke, and I never forgot it. And he said, this is the first time I've been back in church since then. So that's not a good excuse. Now, why would you take that attitude? Why would a preacher be telling a dirty joke in the first place?
Amen.
You know what that old man said? He said, well, a preacher told me a dirty joke when I was a little kid, and he said, I hadn't been in church since. He said, the only reason I came was they heard you used to be in the military, and I was in the military, and he said, I heard you drew. And he said, I wanted to come see you draw. He said, I didn't care nothing about hearing no preacher. He said, I don't trust preachers. And the old preacher said, I don't blame you. He said, well, did you get saved? He said, yes, sir. Now, obviously, he's lost out on things, the judgment seat of Christ and all this other stuff. But can you imagine that preacher showing up in eternity? Can you imagine that preacher showing up there at the judgment seat of Christ, and that old man's there and don't have an opportunity to get very much? And the Lord calls that bird up there and says to him, hey, come here just a minute. You see this fellow right here? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, he got saved. He said, well, let me run the time back here and take him back till he's about 11 or 12 years of age, and shows that preacher telling that boy that dirty joke. And then show him not getting saved until he was in his 80s. That preacher will feel like you just kicked him right in the heart, boy. And say, that's what your dirty joke did right there. Right there. That's what your lackluster living for Jesus Christ does. It hurts. Well, they shouldn't be that way. You know, yeah, you're right, they shouldn't. But you shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Amen.
Anybody here that's ever lost anybody, some people say the dumbest, stupid things at funerals. It grates on me to beat the band. Christian people saying things, making judgments, saying stuff like that. You know what that is? That's a not abstaining from the appearance of evil. Why are you putting in your 2 cents worth when your 2 cents ain't worth nothing? You say, what is it? It's a call to righteousness. It's a call to holiness. It's a call to stop and think before you do something. Driving down the road, you're running 15 over the speed limit, you know, and that kind of a thing, and your buzzer's going off up there and stuff like that, and the kid in the back says, Daddy, are you speeding? Daddy, what's that beeper up there for? Daddy, how come every time you see the policeman, you're cussing or saying something about him? And then the kid comes in, and he's gotten written up because he's cheating on a test in school. I wonder where he learned that, Dad. I mean, what's the difference? Well, you don't cheat. No, but you just violate the law. Well, it's different. Everybody speeds. Okay. You do like that, and the next thing you know, your kid does like a friend of mine up in Tennessee, and the kid gets behind there. He's going to be like Daddy, and he showers down on that thing, goes around a corner, can't control it, wraps that thing around a tree, and absent from the body and present with the Lord, 17 years old. What's he doing, acting like Daddy? Police just out there to give you a ticket. We wouldn't have to worry about it. They wouldn't even need policemen if you didn't have to speed. You realize the amount of crime you could stop if they didn't have to work traffic?
Yes.
You say, why are they working traffic? Licensed drivers, breaking the law. Now you're good and mad. Well, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Amen.
What are you speeding for? You must think you're up to something. Go by and the guy stops you. Why'd you stop me? I don't know, you look like you were up to something. You're going to a house of fire, there's a problem, somebody in the hospital, getting ready to go to the hospital, somebody pregnant, fit to have a baby. How come you're running like that? You're running from somebody, a bank robbery or something? I stopped you because you're speeding, because it looks to me like you're up to something. Yeah, but not Christians. Profiling me. Appearance. Come 1 Peter chapter, did I read that one to you already? I don't believe I did. 1 Peter chapter 2. If not, I'll read it to you again. Verse 11. No, I did read it to you. He said, beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts at war against the soul, having your conversation. All right, back to 1 Thessalonians. All right, so we covered the word abstain, deliberately withdraw from this social media foolishness. deliberately withdraw. I'm letting you know I'm withdrawing. Why? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Or not. I know, Mom. You can't turn it loose, so you can't get on to your kid for doing it. You're going to control it. Good, okay, no problem. Appearance, how it looks, what it appears to be, not always what it is. Now I wrote down this, evil. That's actions that are ultimately damaging to person's testimony or reputation. So if it'll bring harm to or injury to your reputation or witness, don't do it. If there's a question about it, don't do it. You say, well, that's just my reputation. That's what people know you by.
Yes.
They know you to be one of those Christians on Sunday. And then whoever you are the rest of the time. I don't know, maybe so. Come back to the passage, if you will, please, and just says, well, we're looking at the word abstain. I covered that. I covered the word appearance, and I covered the word evil. So here's what I wrote down. It's just a paragraph. We need to terminate contact with any place, action, or language or relationship that gives people the impression that I'm doing something I should not be doing or something that is wrong. It doesn't matter what you think or feel is acceptable. What matters is what other people perceive. You have to be aware of the weaker brother's conscience. So put a great deal of distance between yourself and anything that you're doing that people could misinterpret, thereby stain your reputation for the cause of Jesus Christ. See, preacher, that sounds a little far out to me, a little too much for me. I didn't sign up for that. Okay. I can't force you to do it. But you can't say it's not the Bible. And where I started tonight was, I started in Genesis chapter number 3, and what I said to you was, is that the first sin in that Bible was, yea, hath God said. And the first sin in that Bible is committed by a woman who added to and took away from what God said. And you're saying the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what you're saying, but that ain't what it really says. You're no different than the garden. That's what got the devil in trouble. That ain't what God really said. That ain't what he really meant. Did he really mean that? That's not what he really meant. That's what the scholars do. You think I'm kidding you? Go home and Siri it or Google it or Bixby it or what's the little thing that sits there, Echo or Mimo or something. Talk to it and ask it. You know what they'll give you? They'll give you the New King James. They'll give you the ESV. They'll give you the RSV. They'll give you the ESV. They won't give you the KJV translation. You say, why? Because it's too plain. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Preacher, nobody can live up to that. You can try. You can try. Ask yourself, why would God put that in there if you can't do it? You think God wants to see you fail? He don't want to see you fail. Why did he put it in there? To help you.
Amen.
It's not a rule to make you trip up. It's to help you. You want to get your prayers through? Okay. What if people are watching you? In the last days, I didn't give it to you. We'll look at it on Sunday. In the last days, people are given over to them own selves. Lovers of them own selves. I don't care who it affects. I'll do what I want to do. Okay, well, that's not biblical. All right, I hope that helps you.